بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Najm and we have reached verse 42. قال الله تعالى وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. And that to your Lord is the end, meaning the return of everything. This verse has two recitations to it, قراءتان. One with a fatha on the hamza, so it reads وَأَنَّ, and the second with a kasra, وَإِنَّ. Both are correct recitations. If the person recites either way, his recitation is correct. But it is more suited for the person who knows the recitations to recite one of the recitations at one time and then the other at another time. However, this should not be done open with common Muslims recited in front of them or in the Salah if the reciter is the Imam, because the common Muslims, if they hear you reciting in a way which is different from the way they are used to, then this will be something wrong and bad. Why? They will either say that this man does not know the Quran, or that they will doubt the Quran, such that they may say that the Quran may change, so the reciter should be wise and think about the consequences. And that's why the admonition is given to those whom Allah had bestowed upon them knowledge of the recitations, that they should stick to the recitation that is known to the common Muslims, so that there can be no confusion. But if the person is, you know, reciting to himself, then there is no harm, because all is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, if we take by the recitation which is a kasra, which begins with the kasra wa inna, then this statement wa inna ila rabbika al-muntaha, and that to your Lord is the end, this statement and what follows is not in the pages and scriptures of Ibrahim and Musa. Rather, this is a new statement. Remember the verses that were before. أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. You know, 36 and 37. No. And if it is recited with the fatha وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى, then the statement and what follows it is or are from what came in the pages of Ibrahim and Musa. Anyway, they are from the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that your Lord is the end, the return of everything, the return of the matters of the deen, and the return of the matters of this life, and in the return in matters of knowledge. When an issue is problematic, an issue from the matters of knowledge is problematic, then it returns to Allah and His Messenger. As Allah stated in Surah An-Nisa 4:59, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. And if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer it to Allah and His Messenger. And the Prophet ﷺ does not say anything from his own self. It is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, the end and the return of everything is to Allah in judging between people and in judging for people. إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. Your Lord, to your Lord is the end and the return of everything, also the return of the creation. Because this existing creation will perish and go into another creation, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Qaf, verse 15, chapter 50, verse 15. أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد. Were we then tired with the first creation? Nay, they are in confused doubt about a new creation, which is the resurrection. And that will be the day of resurrection. So everything will return to Allah. All of our affairs and situations and rulings, anything that comes from us and anything which is upon us will return to Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, to whom should you complain? If you are touched by a calamity or harm, to whom should you return? To Allah, since everything will return to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you seek benefits, then seek them from Allah Azza wa Jal, because to your Lord is the end, the return of everything. How many people have attained the means for provisions, and just like that, in the last moment, they were taken from them? So no one brings you the good except Allah Azza wa Jal, and no one wards off the harm except Allah Azza wa Jal. So make Him subhanahu wa ta'ala your goal in all of your affairs. Then in the next verse, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. And that it is He, Allah, who makes whom He wills laugh and makes whom He wills weep. Is the laughing here the real laugh, or what it necessitates and entails? And that is the happiness. Also, does this refer to the real weeping, or what it entails from sorrow and grief? If we examine the apparent of the text, then we say it is the real laugh, and that the real laugh originates not except from happiness. And similarly, with respect to the al-buka, the weeping, it is the real one, and this does not occur except upon grief and sorrow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He who makes whom He wills laugh and weeps in this life, and also makes him laugh and weeps in the hereafter. The kuffar in this life the disbelievers in this life, they laugh at the believers. They laugh at the Muslims. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, 83, chapter 83, verse 29. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. Verily, during the worldly life, those who committed crimes used to laugh at those who believed. A reference to that, the kafirs laughing at the believers. But this laugh will end up as weeping on the day of resurrection, as Allah stated in the same surah, but verse 34. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. But this day, those who believe will laugh at the disbelievers. So the one who makes whom he wills laugh and makes whom he wills weep in this life and the hereafter is Allah Azza wa Jal. So He ordained what will occur in terms of laughing and what will bring forth laughing and what will bring forth weeping. And Allah brought these two contrasts, laugh and weep, so that it becomes known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things, and He is all able to create the opposites and the contrasts. And in the next verse, also in line with this, He, Allah, mentioned وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى. And that He, Allah, it is He who causes death and gives life, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Causes death in this life and gives life in this life. And causes death in this life and gives life in the hereafter. He causes death and brings life to the humans. A soul is breathed into this human this day, so Allah gives him life. And another, his soul taken away from his body, and so Allah causes him to die, and so forth. He is the one who causes death and gives life. And there is another general death and general life. Allah causes death for the entire creation in this life and will bring them entirely in the hereafter, because He is the one who created death and He is the one who created life. And again, as you can see, both are contrasts. Life and death, all are from Allah Azza wa Jal. That is because Allah, the Most High, is able to do all things. And in the next verse, وَأَنَّهُ خَلَقَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. And that He, Allah, creates the pairs, male and female. But here the term الزوجين meaning the kind, like in the saying in Surah As-Saffat, chapter 37:22, the saying of Allah, احشر الذين ظلموا ازواجهم. It will be said to the angels, assemble those who did wrong together with their azwaj. It doesn't mean their wives, but their companions. kind and what they used to worship. طيب. So الذكر والأنثى, male and female, he created them from one substance, سبحانه وتعالى, the نطفة, as in the next verse, وأنه خلق الزوجين الذكر والأنثى من نطفة, من نطفة إذن إذا تمنى, from نطفة, when it is emitted, pulled forth into the womb of the woman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these kinds, which are different in their creation, in their tempers, in their intellect, in terms of their thinking, in terms of their attributes and qualities. He created them from one single matter, and that is the nutfah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qiyamah, chapter 75, verses 39 and 40, he said, فَجَعَلَ مِنْهُ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُحْيَى الْمَوْتَى فَلَا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ and made him into two sexes, male and female, two kinds. Is not he Allah who does that, able to give life to the dead? Yes, he is able to do all things. So he created the two, the male and the female, from one matter, the nutfah. And this is evidence for his perfect ability, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where he created two different kinds in all situations, different in all, in their strength, physical strength, in their mental strength, in their thinking and their organizing, and in all situations and in all qualities, they differ. And from this we know the misguidance of those who want the woman to be like the man in affairs which are particular to man, to the male. They are foolish. They are fools in their intellect. They are misguided. How can we make equal two kinds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguished them in creation and in their legal responsibilities? There are rulings required from the man but not required from the woman. And the opposite also is true. And also in terms of the creation, it is obvious that those are not successful who want to equate the man and the woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived them from their intellect. This view is also in opposition to the natural inclination, in addition to it being in opposition to the legal responsibility. In the next verse, وَأَنَّ عَلَيْهِ النَّشْأَةَ الْأُخْرَى and that upon him Allah is another bringing forth, reference to the resurrection. And in this there is proof and evidence that Allah took it upon himself to resurrect the people. For if it were that people will live and die without return, this would be something of no purpose. In vain. Pure in vain. Because we know now that people in this life differ in terms of wealth and poverty and richness and strength and weakness, intellect, and so forth. And if they are as such, and without return, this would be in total opposition to the wisdom of their creation. So it's inevitable that they will return. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it upon himself when he said, وَأَنَّ عَلَيْهِ, and that upon him, Allah, meaning is another bringing forth the resurrection. And the term عَلَى, upon, here indicates obligation. So Allah made it obligatory upon himself to bring forth this resurrection. And there is nothing that prevents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligates something upon himself as he wishes. In fact, he said in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 12, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah, he has prescribed mercy for himself. And here also, and that upon him, Allah is another bringing forth, which is the resurrection. Bringing them forth for recompense, each in accordance with his own deeds. This, another bringing forth, indicates that there is one preceding it, and that is the first bringing forth, the first one, the creation of mankind. The beginning of that is from Allah Azza wa Jal. He created them. Also here, there is another benefit from saying al-ukhra, another great benefit. And that is the indication that the one who is able to bring forth the first creation is able to bring forth the other one. And that is easier with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Rum, verse 27. And he it is who, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. And he it is who originates the creation, then will repeat it after it has been perished. And that is easier for him. Here you have to be careful. What is easy is in relevance to the essence of the object, not in relevance to the ability of Allah, because the ability of Allah does not change. It is be, and it is. And so it comes to existence, whether it is of the greater type or the lesser type. So the relevance here is with respect to the object, the ease. However, with respect to the ability of Allah, all of that is the same, because it doesn't go beyond be, and it will be. So the ease here has two relevances, with respect to the doer and with respect to the object upon which the action falls. With respect to the doer, both are the same. You understand? Both are the same. The first creation, the second creation, with respect to the doer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be and it will be. One word. But with respect to the object upon which the action falls, the first is, or the second is lesser or easier than the first. Is that clear, inshallah? No, alhamdulillah. طيب, the next verse. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَغْنَى وَأَقْنَى. And that it is He, Allah, who gives much or a little. He is the one who gives the provision to whom He wishes. And He gives it in a due amount, prescribed amount. He is the one who gave wealth to whom He wished and made him rich from His creation. وَأَقْنَى, أَقْنَى, it is in contrast to the أَغْنَى, which is the one who's rich, a reference to the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him in abundance. Here it is said to mean the one who is afqar, meaning poorer. Also it is mentioned to mean that Aghna gave him what is sufficient and Aqna gave him more than sufficiency. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave the provisions in prescribed amounts. So the one who gives is Allah Azza wa Jal. Not these idols which were mentioned at the beginning of the surah, Manat and Al-Uzza. It's Allah Azza wa Jal who gives. And in the next verse, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ رَبُّ الشِّعَرَ. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ رَبُّ الشِّعَرَ. And that He, Allah, is the Lord of the Sarius. He created it. It belongs to Him. He runs its affairs. It is the star which appears during the time of intense heat. This star has been specified because some of the Arabs used to worship it and magnify it. So Allah made it clear that it is one of His creation. So it is not a god worthy of worship. And in the next verse, وَأَنَّهُ أَهْلَكَ عَادًا الْأُولَى. And that is He, Allah, who destroyed the former Aad people. And they are the people of Hud, Prophet Hud, a nation of the past, former one. And there is no other Aad. And Allah had given them strength and to the extent that they became arrogant and boosted, who is stronger than us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Fussilat 41:15, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. As for Aad, they were arrogant in the land without right, and they said, who is mightier than us in strength? See they not that Allah who created them was mightier in strength than them, and they used to deny our signs. So Allah destroyed them with most subtle of things, the wind, as in Surah Al-Haqqa 69 verses 6 and 7. بريح صرصر عاتية سخرها عليهم سبع ليال وثمانية أيام حسوما فترى القوم فيها صرعى كأنهم أعجاز نخل خاوية. And as for Ad, they were destroyed by a furious, violent wind. Allah made it so strong, which Allah imposed on them for 7 nights and 8 days in succession, so that you could see men lying overthrown, destroyed, as if they were hollow trunks of date palms. It began from after dawn and finished by sunset. So the days were 8 and the nights were 7. فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى, so that you could see men lying overthrown, destroyed, كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ, as if they were hollow trunks of date palms. The wind carries the man to a height, then throws him down to the earth, and as if they were hollow trunks of date palms. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So all of this strength that they boosted did not prevent them or protect them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it came justly upon them. And then the next verse, Allah mentions Thamud. وَثَمُودَ فَمَا أَبْقَى. And Thamud people, he spared none of them. Thamud, the people of Salih alayhi salam. Allah sent Salih to them and they belied him, and Allah gave them, then he gave them strength and might and gave them knowledge, and knowledge architect. However, this did not enable them to protect themselves when the cry came and the shake and the quake came. In Surah Al-A'raf 7:78, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّشْفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. So the earthquake seized them and they lay dead, prostrate in their homes. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And in the next verse, Allah mentions the people of Nuh. وَقَوْمَ نُوحٍ مِّن قَبْلٍ. And the people of Nuh aforetime, meaning destroyed by drowning them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about that in Surah Al-Qamar 54, verses 10 and 11. Allah spoke about Prophet Nuh, saying, فَدَعَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصَرْ. Then he, Nuh, invoked Allah, saying, I have been overcome, so help me. فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ. So we opened the gates of heaven with water pouring forth, which means so much, and also pouring forth with strength, coming strong on them. And in the next verse, وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا, and we caused the earth to gush forth with springs. So the water of the heaven and the earth met for a matter predestined. Allahu Akbar. The whole earth, the entire earth, gushing forth with springs. And as Allah stated in Surah Al-Mu'minun 23:27, فأوحينا إليه أن اصنع الفلك بأعيننا ووحينا فإذا جاء أمرنا وفارت التنور تسلك فيها من كل زوجين اثنين وأهلك إلا من سبق عليه القول منه. So we inspired him, Nuh, saying, construct the ship under our eyes and under our revelation. Then when our command comes and the oven gushes forth water, even the oven, which is the place to lit fire, gushed water. So the whole earth, gushing forth with springs, and the sky is pouring forth rain, and the waters met as ordained by Allah Azza wa Jal, and they drowned to the extent that the water reached the peaks of mountains. Then Allah stated in verse 52, the next one, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوهُمْ أَظْلَمَ وَأَطْغَى وَقَوْمَ نُوحٍ مِّن قَبْلُ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوهُمْ أَظْلَمَ وَأَطْغَى. And the people of Noah aforetime, they were more unjust and more rebellious and transgressing in disobeying Allah and His Messenger Noah. إِنَّهُمْ they, the reference could be to the people of Noah only, and the people of Noah aforetime. And it is said that it refers to all the nations which Allah mentioned their destruction. So in accordance with the first relevancy, the meaning that the people of Noah, they were the most unjust and more rebellious. And so they were more unjust and more rebellious than the people of Ad and than the people of Thamud. Because, why? Because they transgressed for a long time. Why? Because Noah alayhi salam stayed amongst them 950 years. As Allah stated in Surah Nuh, verses 5-7, قال رب إني دعوت قومي ليلا ونهارا فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا وإني كلما دعوتهم لتغفر لهم جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم واستكبروا استكبارا. He said, O my Lord, verily I have called my people night and day, secretly and openly. But all my calling added nothing to their flight from the truth. And verily, every time I called unto them that you might forgive them, they thrust their fingers into their ears, covered themselves up with their garments, and persisted in their refusal and magnified themselves in pride. So this was most rebellious and transgressing. And therefore the meaning this will be more than Ad and Thamud. In accordance with the second saying, that it refers to all the previous nations, and therefore they will be more unjust and more rebellious than Quraysh, than the tribe of Quraysh who belied you, O Muhammad. So therefore, according to the second meaning, in this there will be a comfort to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah destroyed all these nations and they were most rebellious and most unjust than your nation, and the one who destroyed them is able to destroy the latter ones. And both meanings are correct. So these previous nations were more unjust and rebellious than Quraysh, and the people of Noah more unjust and more rebellious than Ad and Thamud. Is that clear? طيب. In the next verse, وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَةَ أَهْوَى وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَةَ أَهْوَى. And he destroyed the overthrown cities. These are the towns of the people of Lut. And the term أهْوَى means either that Allah overthrow these cities from above to below, that He took it up and then turned it upside down, overthrowing them. Or the meaning that He sent upon them stones, destroying their structures, making the top of the structure collapse to the bottom. So He destroyed these cities, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether this was in either of the descriptions mentioned earlier, فَغَشَّاهَا مَا غَشَّ. The next verse, so there covered them that which did cover. See that? So there covered them that which did cover. Something missing here, not mentioned. And this is intended for magnification. Just like what happened to the people of Fir'aun, when Allah mentioned about them, فَغَشِيَهُمْ مِنَ الْيَمِّ مَا غَشِيَهُمْ, and so they were covered. So they have covered them from water that which did cover in the sea. It means that something great covered them. And so this torment was great that took these towns to which Prophet Lut was sent. Then in the next verse, 55, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكَ تَتَمَارَ. Then which of the graces of your Lord, O man, will you doubt? This exclamation is a scolding one. It's your duty to attest to the favors of Allah and to thank Allah for that. Not to have doubt. Not to have doubt. And come and say, this is from my action, due to my action. And this is from such and such. And this is from such and such. Just like the Arabs used to say, we were rained by such and such a star. And they forgot the Creator, Allah. Then Allah stated in the next verse, 56, هَذَا نَذِيرٌ مِّنَ النُّذُرِ الْأُولَى. هَذَا نَذِيرٌ مِّنَ النُّذُرِ الْأُولَى. This is a warner, messenger. هَذَا meaning the Prophet, the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a warner, messenger, of the series of warners, the messengers of old. And he, in this place, Allah did not say, this is a glad tiding bringer. Why? Because the relevancy here necessitates not, or it necessitates only the warning. Because from the beginning of this surah, Allah mentioned Quraysh. From the beginning to the end. And their belying of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their worship of the idols. So he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a warner of the series of the warners of the messengers of old. And so therefore, just like the punishment took this those nations to whom previous warners came, so you who are belying the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's about time that you will receive the punishment. Why? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like the others. He's a warner. Azifatil azifa. Next verse, 57. Azifatil azifa. The day of resurrection draws near. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:63, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. People ask you concerning the hour, say the knowledge of it is with Allah alone. What do you know? It may be that the hour is near. So it is near. And what indicates its nearness is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final and last messenger. It means that the matter is drawing near. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other hand, mentions that it is near, while we know that between the revelation of the Quran and our times, and we are in the 15th century, yet Allah mentions that the hour is near. And from this we know that the span of this world, the life, is old. Can we take by the saying of those who say that the age of this life that passed is such and such? The answer is, we don't take by their saying, we don't believe them, nor do we belie them. They say sometimes that they had found the remains of an animal who lived such and such million years, or stones that goes back to such and such era. We do not believe that, nor do we belie that, because they don't know the past unseen. Rather, they make analogy to our present time and situations. So they estimate the age of this remain in accordance with influences or effects in our times. But who knows that the two are related? These effects and influences in our times are related to those in the past. We don't know. The situations and the climate may change from heat to coolness, and the opposite. The winds and the rain change. And what we read and we hear from the sciences presented by some people, we don't believe them, nor do we belie them. And as to the future, we must belie everything that is mentioned about the future, because they will be talking about the unseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Naml 27:65, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say, none in the heavens and the earth knows the ghayb, the unseen, except Allah. So therefore the verse أَزِفَةِ الْعَزِفَ, the day of resurrection draws near. Yes. But can we specify the exact nearness? No. And anyone who claims the time of occurrence of the hour, then he is belying Allah and the Messenger. As to him belying Allah, because Allah stated in Surah Al-Ahzab, as mentioned earlier, 33:63, يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا يَدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. People ask you concerning the hour, say the knowledge of it is with Allah alone. What do you know? It may be that the hour is near. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jibreel came to him and asked him, tell me about the hour. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one being asked does not know, is not more knowledgeable of it than the one who is asking. He doesn't know better than the one who is asking. Meaning that if you don't know it, then I am like you. I don't know it. So whoever claims that the hour will take place after 1 million years, or 1 million, or 100,000 years, more or less, we must belie him. And we tell him that you are a disbeliever, unbeliever, because you belie Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then in the next verse, لَيْسَ لَهَا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ كَاشِفًا. 58. None besides Allah can avert it. Two meanings here. None besides Allah can avert. And the other meaning, none can unravel when it will occur. Then in the next verses, أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ. Do you then wonder at this recital, the Quran? This address is aimed at those who belied the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the exclamation here, do you, is for rejection. And it's a wandering denial and rejection. Here's the Messenger who brought them the signs, the clear signs, and told them about the previous nations. And Allah informed them that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a warner, and that it is feared that whoever belies him will taste from the punishment that took place to those before, that fell or befell those before. Then Allah, addressing those who belied the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, here, أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ. Do you then wonder at this recital? Do you see it as something to wonder about and deny? And that's why they said in Surah Qaf 55, أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدا إن هذا لشيء عجاب. أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدا. Did he make all the gods one god? A cause of wonder. And also in the same, has he made the Aliha into one god? This is a curious thing. And in Surah Qaf also they said, Allah said about them, بَلْ عَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءَهُمْ مُنذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا شَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. Now they wonder that there has come to them a warner from among themselves, so the disbelievers say, this is a strange thing. So they considered and took that which the Messenger brought them something to be strange, curious. And this kind of curiosity is that of denial. Denial. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. And you laugh at it and weep not. meaning you mock at it, meaning the Quran, and you also laugh at the legislations, because they used to laugh at the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his worship and mock at him. So you wonder the wonderness of denial, and then you laugh in mockery. وَلَا تَبْكُونَ, and you weep not out of fear, out of return to Allah. But they had harsh, stone-like hearts that don't soften nor weep from the fear of Allah. وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ 61, wasting your precious lifetime in pastime and amusements, singing and so forth. That is because from it. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ, and those who disbelieve say, listen not to this Quran and make noise in the midst of it, recitation, that you may overcome. This term Samidun, it meant either heedless or singing. And the correct thing to say, they are heedless concerning the Quran by passing their times in amusements and singing and so forth, so that they don't listen to the speech of Allah. And this is like what the early beliers who belied the first messenger sent to the children of Adam, who belied Nuh alayhi salam, when Allah mentioned about them in Surah Nuh, as we referred to that earlier, وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ. Verses 7, and verily every time I called unto them that you might forgive them, they thrust their fingers into their ears so that they don't listen. وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ, covered themselves up with their garments so that they don't be seen, and so that they don't see also. وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا, and they persisted in their refusal and magnified themselves in pride. So whatever occurred in that nation first occurred in the final nation or the latter nation. Then Allah stated in 62, verse 62, فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَعْبُدُوا, so fall you down in prostration to Allah and worship Him alone. Usjudu here means usjudu lillah, prostrate in humbleness and submission. And what is intended here in the prostration is all the prayers, kullu salawat. It doesn't mean the pillar which is particular to sujood, the pillar of sujood itself. And doesn't also mean the sujood of tilawa, the sujood of recitation, but it's general, covering all the salawat, the prayers. Wa'budu, and worship Him, also this is general, covering all worship. Allah particularized the salah, mentioning it first, because it is the most important act of physical worship, which is apparent after the shahadatain. And so therefore, here, the conjugation, wa'budu, and worship him, following the prostration, this is a conjugation of general to a particular. the worship him is general, and the prostration covers the salawat. This is particular. As in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Qadr 97 verse 4, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا. This is the opposite. Therein descend the angels and the ruh, Jibreel, by Allah's permission. This is a conjugation of the particular to the general. Where's the general? The angels. Where's the particular? Jibreel. Jibreel is from the angels. And in this, we come to the end of the explanation of this surah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the effort of our Shaykh rahimahullah in explaining this surah and the other surah which we have covered. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira.